Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're facing the issues today. We're speaking directly about those events taking place in South Africa as we speak. We are talking with Dr. Ricardo Watson. Dr. Watson is formerly from South Africa. He has come to the United States and is now a citizen. He's the founder and pastor of a beautiful church and a great work in Northern Virginia. And I'm thankful to have Dr. Watson with us today talking about the issue of what is taking place in South Africa. Dr. Watson, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. I'm looking at an article. I'm going to give you the headlines and read a couple of two or three of the brief paragraphs, and then we want to talk about what this article says. The title of the article says, South Africa, the first country built on critical race theory, officially implodes, dated July the 16th, 2020, and it comes from a news headline out of South Africa. After the jailing of Jacob Zuma, supporters of the former president took the streets ostensibly to protest, but actually to simply plunder at will. The official death toll already runs into the hundreds. In fact, I believe the death toll of another article, Dr. Watson said there's over 200 thus far, but the real total will never be known for sure. Rioters have plummeted shops, entered shopping malls. When they run out of the normal goods, they steal livestock. When it is too heavy to carry by hand, they bring a forklift. The meltdown in South Africa, is it a natural disaster or a random fluke? It's a choice. South Africa was the first modern nation to be founded on the anti-white principle of critical race theory, and now it is reaping the whirlwind of that choice. South Africa did everything that is being done in America right now. As a hypersensitive, multicultural, multilingual society, South Africa has followed almost every prescription embraced by the globalist ruling class. This is about more than riots. This wave of violence will eventually run out, but there is no reason to be optimistic when that happens. There will be no sense of having survived a calamity and having a chance to rebuild. When this wave of burning and looting and killing are over, there's nothing to look forward to but the next wave and the next wave. Further in the article, Dr. Watson, it says, South Africa's dominant African National Congress Party is corrupt and ineffective. It is the most dangerous rival, is the most radical political parties to enjoy representation on the earth. The economic freedom fighters vow to seize white-owned land without payment, nationalize the banking and mining sectors, and double the welfare payments to the citizens. Tell me if this article is succinctly correct or what you see based on the article, and how do you respond to that, and what do you know is taking place there? And if you would, and I know that you're familiar with it, we've talked about it before, the events of today, or the recent events in South Africa. What's the background of South Africa? What is the governance like, and what has been the problem for years and is now boiling over?
Well, just a quick history of background. South Africa was taken over by the Dutch after the Anglo-Boer War. And so they took over from the British. The Dutch won that war, and they took over from the British. When they did, they brought into the country what we know to be today as apartheid. Apartheid is an Afrikaans word that simply means to be separate. So they separated us by color, and they put us into townships. And in this time, it was all of Hitler's henchmen that literally came and took over South Africa. Siyal, mm-hmm. Swart, Hendrik Verfoet, and all of that. So we had an extension of what the Nazis did in Europe come to South Africa. So it was not a good system. There's nothing credible about that form of dictatorial rule. It was cruel, and it created some problems that South Africans had to deal with. Through the years, 27 years, Nelson Mandela was imprisoned, and he was a young lawyer. And ultimately, they put him in prison because he challenged that system. Now, when he came out in 1994, Nelson Mandela really sought to unite the nation, and he did that. He did that even though some of his colleagues in the ANC were ardent communists, and they wanted bloodshed all over the land. Nelson Mandela, as a father figure, pushed that back and contended for unity, which came through in 1994, and we saw the nation being, restored, per se, for the period of time that, it managed to hold together. The ANC is largely communist. They were empowered by Castro, Russia, Palestine, all of these people, and China. China has been a major key figure in creating the South Africa we see today. So you mentioned the EFF, the Economic Freedom Fighters. It's led by a man called Julius Malema. He is racist. He hates white people. He has a bitterness that is so deeply rooted. Every time he speaks, he spews out hatred. Ultimately, the article you read is very accurate. They are dispossessing white people. And I hate to use the term white, but that's the only way people will understand South Africa if we speak of it that way, because of apartheid. So what they're doing is they are killing families on farms. They are butchering them. It's just, you never see that in the U.S. because Facebook, social media, like you say, the Communist News Network, CNN, and all of that, they censor all of that. But we have family and friends in South Africa that send us the image, and they're killing the white farmers because they have this ideology that they're just going to take over that farm, take over that land. Now, a lot of the truth that they're avoiding is that these farmers were not the apartheid government. They are farmers. They're hardworking farmers, just like my family. My family came into South Africa as indentured workers. These farmers came in as farmers, and they just worked. So the injustices I understand in apartheid, but murdering these people now is not going to solve the problem. And so what you're seeing with the EFF right now, Julius Malema said in the last few months and years that ultimately the Indians must be eradicated from KwaZulu-Natal, because in KwaZulu-Natal you have the largest concentration of Indians outside of India on the planet. They are in KwaZulu-Natal. So he's been asking for an ethnic cleansing, because Indians are very industrious. Wherever they go, they open businesses, they're hardworking people, they educate themselves, and they build a strong community. So now he's asked for the, the removal of Indians from behind every shop counter. What you've seen in KwaZulu-Natal the last few days is literally a torching of most Indian businesses, and now they are coming after the white owned farms because they supply the food. So what they're doing is what Robert Mugabe did in Zimbabwe, getting rid of all of the white farmers, getting the people, brainwashing them, bewitching them to, burn down, destroy things. And they did that. And today Zimbabwe has no food. So it's amazing that the South African, indigenous Zulu, Sotho, Tswana, and Pedi people are falling for the very same trap. They have evidence as a neighbor, Zimbabwe, that you end up in ultimate ruins when you tear down a nation the way you have. And just to let you know, when all of this broke out, Jacob Zuma going into prison, our president, the president of South Africa right now, was in China celebrating the Communist Party's 120th anniversary and boldly put up on his Facebook that he was so pleased to be with China. China has been an integral part in South Africa's history and the forming of the new South Africa. We have a Chinese woman in our parliament right now. They have bought off ports in South Africa. They are taking over the fishing industry. We have Chinese police that are guarding South African universities. And we, as a nation, are heading into the very jaws of the dragon of communism. And China is behind this because these ANC people believe that China is going to save them from the evil white man who was a Christian, who was in South Africa, by bringing in communism into the country.
Would you say, Dr. Watson, and I am thankful for you being with us and with your great insight and wisdom on the subject, would you say that what we're seeing in America today is a precursor to what is now taking place in South Africa?
Absolutely. I have had many conversations and dialogues with Americans who are blinded to what's happening in the media. This is exactly what they did to the media in South Africa. And a lot of it has had to deal with that regime. The apartheid regime used the same techniques of propaganda, media control, and dominance of the people, like what we suffered under apartheid. So I don't know who's behind that, but that same system is operating now in the United States, where people are not given the information, and we are seeing, people are siding with iniquity, they are siding with evil, and they don't realize this critical race theory. It's absolutely absurd that Americans would give up their freedoms, that American teachers would want to put so much a poison in their own students to hate their country and to tear it apart. It's an absolute delusion. It's a lie. Critical race theory has destroyed South Africa. It has put bitterness inside of people. I have South African blacks that are part of my church that are weeping right now, and they are begging the government, begging the officials, saying, do not do this to these people. These people are innocent. But that's what it's done. It has brainwashed them into believing that people of other colors are the problem. And so South Africa's situation is largely violent. You know that. It's just violent. Dr. Youngblood, they don't steal because they're hungry, and they are. They are because the ANC government has brought them to this level of impoverishment by the socialistic, Marxist, communist government. They brought these people to this level of poverty. So they are hungry, I understand that. But the government did that to them, not the whites. The whites have, in 1994, the ANC took over. We've seen this now over 26-some-odd years. It's the ANC governance that has done this. But not only do they steal, if they steal from a supermarket, they burn the supermarket. So they're destroying all infrastructure to leave the nation in outright chaos, which is ultimately a Marxist agenda. It's what we saw in Venezuela. It's what we're seeing in Cuba. But who can see what's going on there? Because Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey and Pichai from Google, they block anything we're trying to post when we are trying to inform people in America that this is the direction you are heading if you keep on giving in to this present administration that's using the same. I mean, when Cyril Ramaphosa was in America, he's posing with George Soros, taking pictures with every communist leader that is trying to destroy America, and wouldn't even care to take pictures with the 44th president of the United States, President Donald Trump, because President Trump was for conservative values and to restore America. So the leader right now over South Africa has a communist agenda.
And what I'm, by the way, I'm looking at an article by the American Family Association, says this: I'm talking about the battle between the emboldened left, which is flat out pushing the nation toward a godless Marxism, and those of us who are standing firm in the conviction that America's only hope is return to the Christian foundations. It's hard to understand why our nation's dominant institutions, businesses, education, the arts, the media, government, entertainment, even some of the churches have aligned against life, biblical morality, free speech, marriage, and the family, and even the love of God, end quote. And that's a pretty powerful statement because that's what we have seen across America. And you talked about the president of South Africa going to celebrate the 100th anniversary of communism. My mind goes to Adolf Hitler in the late 30s and early 40s, where he had so demonized the Jews that the other families in Germany rejoiced even when they saw the Jewish people being hauled off in train cars to be totally destroyed, to be incinerated, and to be their lives taken. In fact, it had gotten so that the Jewish people had been so demonized in Germany by Hitler that the people, the citizens, would drag the Jews out and beat them to death on the street corners, thinking that they were doing what's right. And I see that taking place in South Africa. I see us on the fast track for that in America. I'm looking at another article, Dr. Watson, that says South African civil rights activist issues a warning for America as left-wing radicals in their politics take control of the nation. Subtitle says, the left-wing violence and unrest has been plaguing South Africa as some in the U.S. become wary of social undertones. And it goes on to talk about an individual named Ernest Roets, R-O-E-T-S, a South African civil rights activist, issued a warning for the people of the United States as globalism and the far-left radical politics rise to the prominence in both nations. Quote, to put it frankly, there's a very strong anti-Western sentiment underneath this whole thing, he told Tucker Carlson on Tucker Carlson Today, as racially charged violence mixed with federal government concentration of power takes hold in South Africa. And he goes on to talk about how that is being done. And it's a concentration of that governmental power that is the strong arm of the radical Marxist agenda, and it is the full sway of communism kept bubbling to the forefront, as I see it, in South Africa. You correct me if I'm wrong. And we see the same thing happening in America today. But there is a major, major disruption, as you touched on, with people in America and even in Cuba, South Africa, and other nations, where they have no way to communicate because big tech in the bastion of the governmental leaders in nations that are communist nations and pushing for communism that will not let us communicate with each other in America. Right now, what we're saying on this broadcast, multitudes have never heard, did not know was taking place, and did not understand the rationale behind it in South Africa. So, Dr. Watson, the question begs to be asked, demands to be answered. From a Christian perspective, from a conservative perspective, what is the responsibility of Christians today in hearing this broadcast? What should we do? How should we respond? What are your biblical, theological recommendations to our listeners today that will give some hope with what we see taking place?
Well, I have an approach that is biblical. In Exodus chapter 15, the Bible says in verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army has cast into the sea his chosen captains. He has drowned in the sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Verse 6 says, your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemies in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who have rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. Just a few things here. The church in America needs to pray. We cannot sit back and watch this nation being taken over by this wicked regime. The Lord is a man of war. God is love, but he's also a man of war. His right hand dashes the enemy in pieces. It's going to take intensive praying from the church. We are doing it already in our church. And we're praying the scriptures. Now, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20:20 that God set ambushes against Mount Seir, Ammon, and Moab. The Bible says God caused them to turn against each other and help destroy one another.
Amen.
We need to pray. We need to pray aggressively, biblical prayers, that this regime, this leftist, Marxist, Leninist, communist, socialist agenda turns on each other. I believe God can give America a last-moment reprieve. I believe the foundations of this nation is crying out. The founding fathers gave this land to God. They cried out to God. They believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. America has a very different foundation from South Africa. America has a foundation in righteousness. And I don't believe that these wicked people will overrule the foundations in this land. But they've got to pray. The church has got to pray, and they've got to pray aggressive prayers, like I'm reading from Exodus 15. This system must be exposed, and it must be destroyed in our generation. And if the Lord tarries in our lifetime, we've got to pray to dismantle the system. Number two, pastors have got to come to the forefront and begin to teach these things and become politically active by reason of educating their people from a theological perspective.
Amen.
On governance and being bold and confronting these issues and not giving away to political correctness, yielding to Black Lives Matter, which is a Marxist movement, and following the sexual revolution, which is destroying the body and the nucleus of the human family, which God has already predefined in the scriptures. Pastors have got to become bold and confront this issue from their pulpits. You've taught us this years ago. I understand the context now. The reason why the evangelical church is suffering in this nation is because pastors do not want to face the issues. They do not want to confront it from the pulpit. It's going to take a return to a central biblicist views, teaching the scriptures within its context and empowering the people. This is a political book, whether we like it or not. There were
Amen.
Rulers, satraps, and governors and kings that God navigated through prophets and through the early church. If you go all through Old Testament and New Testament, God always navigated his church and his people through all these different spheres of leadership. So pastors have got to take responsibility for their flocks and stop preaching things that are not beneficial to our salvation, nor the purpose of God on the earth. There is a reason why God has planted us in this nation, and it's time that we stand up and speak. Everyone else is speaking their mind. This is the United States of America. If we are not able to stand up and speak these things, then we have failed God in the day of opportunity.
Dr. Watson, you're exactly right. I've used the term, and perhaps you have heard that, that it's time for preachers to come out from under the beds and out of the closet and grow a spine, spiritual spine, and preach and teach the word without fear of intimidation of others and what the world might say. As you have just so eloquently stated, we're in a society today where pastors have become silent. We've had the sodomites come out of the closet. We're having the critical race theory communists coming out of the closet. And we have more and more of the preachers going in the closet rather than taking a bold stand. And I like the term in Nehemiah, in fact, the whole text of Nehemiah, they were doing a battle and doing the battle against the enemy while trying to rebuild the wall. They were mocking them, laughing at them, criticizing them. And Nehemiah each time would just go to the Lord and say, basically, this is the Youngblood paraphrased edition, Nehemiah would say, Lord, you hear what they're saying. You see what they're doing. And they kept on working. And they worked with the sword in one hand,
yep,
and the trial in the other hand. And Nehemiah encouraged the people, saying, our God shall fight for us, Nehemiah 4:20. And that's just as you have said so eloquently, that is exactly what's needed today, is to recognize. And Pastor, would you say that what we're faced with really is a demonic battle for the soul of our nation?
Absolutely demonic. And we need to handle this in spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. This is spiritual wickedness. And the believer has got to rise up based on the authority in God's word and confront these things in prayer. This is demonic. These individuals, you know, Paul said in Acts chapter 13, he said to Elymas the sorcerer, you're a son of the devil. You're an enemy of all righteousness. And he said, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of God? He said, you are full of fraud. And Paul said, you will be blind not seeing the sun. Churches have got to rise up, move away from political correctness, and begin to pray governmental prayers from the scriptures. The apostles in the Bible that planted the churches were men, like you said, they had a spine. They stood up and spoke out against wickedness, and God affirmed their prayers. God moved on their behalf. God dashed the enemy in pieces. This is absolutely demonic. The church was not called to be divided by color and culture. The
Amen.
Church united on the basis of the blood of the Lamb. We are born from above. We're a new creation. I don't look at your color. I am born again. And so
Yes. Therefore,
carrying these agendas in the church, Black Lives Matter in the church, homosexual agendas in the church, we have lost our way. We have lost our complete direction by yielding to these agendas of the demonic. You cannot, you know, the Bible says you can mix, sweet and bitter water. You can do that. A tree can bring forth two types of fruit. This is an abomination. They are mixing things and twisting it to the level that I have not seen in my 46 years of living. It requires biblical prayers. Like you said, Nehemiah built with a sword in his hand. On one hand, you have to take the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and engage this process and pray against this demonic agenda.
Amen. Dr. Watson, we've got less than 30 seconds, and I know that's a short period of time, but would you pray for our nation and pray for South Africa briefly as we close this broadcast today?
Lord, we come to you today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Today, I stand in agreement with Dr. Youngblood and his audience. We pray for South Africa. We pray, Father God, that you would move by your right hand and uproot this wicked system and expose these individuals and bring their plans to nothing and to naught. We pray for the United States of America. Lord, this land belongs to you. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Father, we remind you of the covenant that the founding fathers made in this land for this great nation. And we petition you today, Father God, if two or three of us agree, Lord, I come as an elder in the church along with Dr. Gene Youngblood, and we pray for America, Lord, that you show us your mercy, that you pour out your grace, that you redeem this land, and you save us from the grip of this wickedness of communism and Marxism in the name of Jesus. Father, we declare America belongs to Jesus, and that the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ will prevail in this land. We pray, Lord God, that you would deliver us from evil and help your church to come through this season, Lord, as a beacon of light and hope to this nation. Dismantle this government, and Lord God, emancipate us from this
Yes. Wicked
liberal rule. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Watson, thank you for joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.